Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Corey and Kevin Talk About Nothing. If you're tuning in for the first time,
I'm Corey.
I'm Kevin, and welcome to our podcast talk show.
Hello!
Hello! Insert the clapping hands, the audience that's cheering, people freaking out. We're in a live studio audience here, everybody.
Just don't pay attention to our backgrounds.
Yeah. It depends on if we edited it. Oh, man, I don't think we did.
Yeah, that's a nice background. I added that in for last time.
Yeah, right. Yeah. we have a movie that we watched that we'll get to a little later. The movie is The King's Man. And I feel like... I agree. I feel like the entire trilogy needs to have a little talking about.
I heard that.
In the lead up of this... finale. Or not even a finale, I guess, because it's just a prequel, really, to the...
Yeah, the beginning.
Anyways. I'll tell you what, it's ridiculous.
I'm not happy.
You're not happy about it. Nah, I don't think I am either. I don't think I am either.
No. Something big did come drop, okay? When we are recording this, we'll call it the beginning of May, okay? So on the 29th of April, Ozark, second half of the season.
Yeah, what, season four, final part two type of?
Dropped, yeah. So, have you started yet?
No!
Oh my goodness.
I know.
All right.
We haven't.
It's okay. All I'm going to say, I'm not going to give anything away. I'm just going to say that I'm truly not disappointed at all. And another thing that me and Sean, he made a comment to me, which I wanted to punch him in the throat first, but then I understand why.
Okay.
He said this? No, it's nothing. No, I wanted to punch him in the throat. Because he didn't believe me the first time.
So violent.
But anyways.
You're like MacGruber, and he like snatches people's throats out. Anyways. You're gonna
punch him
in the throat.
He said that. Yeah, because he told me that Ruth Langmore was the star of the show. And it just makes me, so you don't know the background of it, that's what I'm saying, it makes me want to punch my throat, because he told me before that she was annoying and he didn't like her that much at all throughout like any of the show.
Oh, now he's flipped his
so
verdict
now
on that.
It changed it a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? It changed towards the end of season three. I'm not saying that he like didn't like totally like dislike her, but at the same time, it was like a weird scenario. So when he brought this up to me then, that's when I'm like, all right, now I want to throw punch you. Not really. I would not throw punch him because he said it to me and I didn't. So yeah, obviously I didn't want to.
It took him
bad.
Too long to come to that verdict.
Thank you, because Ruth is like one of my favorite people.
Ruth has been, yeah, right, absolutely. I mean, she has been one of the stars of this show. I mean,
yes, I think she was always. I think at first, because of the character that she wasn't like brought out to be this main character, but she truly, truly was the like not the main character. I'm not saying it that way, but like a vital person in this entire scenario of everything. So I'm just saying. Wild. Okay.
I'm very excited, I know maybe this week we're gonna do it. Yeah. You know?
I'm telling you, once you start it, like it's because I haven't finished it yet. I'm not saying it that way by any means, but it was almost I literally got straight back into the Ozark world. Like I've been watching Better Call Saul, so I've been killing that show. Okay. So then in those time frames where I'd watch that show, I filled in Ozark. I mean, I'm about halfway through the second half of the season.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty good.
That's sweet. That's sweet. Good. That's very cool. I think we're about halfway through season 9 of Modern Family. So
nice. Okay. I mean, you guys have been watching for quite a while though.
Yeah, we have been watching for quite a while.
Yeah.
You know, we throw in a lot of like. If we're just throwing on Sling TV, we've been watching a lot of Impractical Jokers.
No.
Two and a Half Men when the Charlie Sheen is on. And we'll throw on The Office. We'll also throw on Corey's favorite, Seinfeld.
Oh.
Yep. Which actually, we watched a few episodes last night, which was awesome.
It's soothing.
It is. It's soothing to listen to Jerry's jokes and Elaine's laugh and George's outbursts and Kramer's.
Sorry, that was rude.
Goofiness. I don't know. I kind of failed on that last one. But yeah, so those are ones that we definitely, Ozark, we definitely need to. I don't want any spoilers, and I feel like that's one that can quickly, like, you might see like a scene or somebody tweet something out too far, you know. So
get on it. That's why I don't want to do it. Someone shot me one comment already. I'm like, I can't have that happen. I go to work today. Luckily, me and my coworker Ron are on the same page because he literally made a comment to me. He's one of the guys that makes me want to shut my ears off and put eardrums on when I go to work all the time. Outside the world.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he just literally just said a sentence to me that was in the movie. I mean, in the show. And you're like, dude, you're lucky that I seen that. Like, because that might have made me mad. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Like, what are you doing? So, but, yeah. So,
I'm pretty excited because this is early May. But anyways, tomorrow, the day after we're recording this, Jessica and I are going to go see Dance, Gavin, Dance. And I'm freaking excited.
Dude, that is awesome.
Yeah, we also get a new single drops from their new album. Their new album comes out in July. It's called Jackpot Juicer, which seems very fun. And the same artist who's done like most of their album artwork did this too. And it's just a bunch of fruits and like looks like a casino type of thing. So that's gonna be fun. Plus, it's a huge track listing on this album. Now, mind you, these guys are putting albums out every 2 years almost. Ever since 2000, actually, yeah, for most of the history of Dance, Gavin, Dance, the end and lineup changes and all that, they've managed to basically crank out a new album almost every 2 years. And so, yeah, Afterburner came out in 2020. So Mothership was 2016 and, my mind is escaping me right now. There was another one in 2018. So it's crazy. 2022 getting Jackpot Juicer. And there's like 19 songs on this album, man. I'm like, this is incredible. So not only are you cranking out a two album, you're like, this is gonna be a long one. And you know, recently rest in peace, Tim Furyk. They've recently lost their bassist, Tim Furyk. But they also had added a member, Andrew Wells, who plays guitar and does singing as well. And they said that he has six songs he has main singing parts. And I was like, oh man, you know, like that's cool. I love the dude's voice and everything, but I'm like, you know, there's a clear dynamic between Tillian and John Mess. So like, I'm like, is there going to be too much? And then I saw it was like 19 songs. I'm like, okay, that's going to be like a little blip in what's going to be this amazing arc of music. So I'm excited because not only do we get to go see them live tomorrow, they're also going to be releasing their new song, which more than likely we'll get to see these two new songs that we've gotten at that time for them to play live. So I'm just super excited because you and I, a couple years ago, Jessica was pregnant with Clementine, and we went to go see Under Oath, and Under Oath was touring with Dance, Gavin, Dance. Now, unfortunately, Tillian had a concussion, so it was only John Mess doing most of the screaming and all that stuff. But the audience, there was never a beat that these people were not singing the parts for Tillian. Like everybody knew, even without this lead singer, you could have a full blown show and these people loved it because they know all the music, they know all the songs, and I mean John Mess and the rest of them are all entertaining enough anyway. So
yeah.
We knew that they were special. And I love Under Oath. Under Oath
Yeah.
delicately want to say this was my absolute favorite band of all time, but that has to be moved on. I mean, unfortunately, I'm sorry, Underoath. I mean, you're second.
A strong second.
A strong second. But you happened to tour with Dance Gavin Dance. That's your fault. That's not my fault.
That's true.
I would never have heard these guys unless it was for them. So
yeah. And the backup singer and everybody else blew me away enough to where, you know, like
that. Well, exactly. I went home and like, yep, I'm going to be listening to Dance Gavin Dance. And I remember probably for a year straight, I listened to Mothership. And then for, you know, another year straight. Here's the funny. I listened to Afterburner for like a year straight. And I didn't even realize that there was an album in between the two.
There was?
Yeah, because Mothership came out in 2016, and Afterburner came out in 2020. So I didn't realize that a whole nother album had come out in between all of that. So it's just kind of funny how I have like all this other music that I needed to listen to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was Artificial Selection. Artificial Selection came out in 2018. So I was like, oh man, I gotta go back and listen to Artificial Selection. And I'll tell you what, I've been bouncing around through albums, and Acceptance Speech, which is the very first album that Tillian is on, and Tim Farrick had also joined the band at that same time. And that album is insanely good. So I used to listen to Mothership religiously. Afterburner's like second. Sorry. Acceptance Speech. Number one, baby. That album's amazing, dude.
What?
Every song's a banger. I love every song on Mothership. I love every song on Afterburner. I love every song. You know, I love pretty much almost every single song. But Acceptance Speech just has these just friggin' bangers, man. It's beautiful. Anyways. I'm so excited. I'm hoping that they play some off of Acceptance Speech, but I am very excited for the new stuff, too, because everything they do is good. I really don't have a problem with any of their songs. I love their mood. I love their music. I love the way they just insert everything. They have so many influences, and they themselves are like a free band to explore those influences. They don't narrow themselves down. No, I would almost say like no album sounds the same. Like they have different styles in almost every album or almost every song in those albums. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's, yeah. All right. I'm gonna say I do love them.
Yeah.
They are fantastic. But I mean, I don't know. Just looking at the names of the songs, I can't tell you if I listen to a single one of these songs. And I've literally played them on Apple.
Acceptance Speech.
On Acceptance Speech at all. Yeah. Like, none of the songs are, like, ringing out to me. Like, usually, like, a song title, some sort of something will, you know, kind of, you know, ring back to me.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, Inspire the Liars, which I know is, like, one of the ones that I think you enjoy the most, too. But
yeah,
that's absolutely probably my all-time favorite Dance Gavin Dance song, Inspire the Liars. Yeah, that's on Mothership.
That's on Mothership, isn't it? Yeah. I listen to a lot of Mothership.
So 100%. That Mothership is definitely, like, my first album that I just like was like, okay, Dance Gavin Dance is now my thing. Like that's I live and breathe Dance Gavin Dance now at this point. I mean, I kid you not, the only things I really listen to at this point is Dance Gavin Dance. I rarely play anything else, you know? So that's I'm impressive. Definitely at like some point gonna get like the Mothership tattoo on, you know, on my body because I'm like I love the I love their music so much. I got to get something from them, you know.
Got it.
Yeah,
that's impressive. You like that band a lot. I mean,
they're incredible. I'll talk about them constantly. it's awful. So I'm just so excited to go see them live tomorrow and play whatever. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yes.
I'm going to sit in the back like we did last time, have a few beers. Just like, where do you want to go? I'm like, well, last time I figured out I no longer want to be in a crowd of mosh pitting and all that stuff. Younger Kevin really enjoyed that. Older Kevin sits in the back, stands in the back.
Like stands, even... yeah, absolutely. Nope, we're not even sitting down.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're holding on to a guardrail.
Nah, they're fine. Yeah, no,
hey, we tell people behind us, hey, the seats open up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, man, that was funny. But hey, I mean, it's still live music. It's still like 20 feet away sweet. From your face. We're like,
yeah, and actually, like off. That, the where we went to, at that venue, it actually was like, I liked that where that rail was, because don't get me wrong, like the mosh pit and everything would be cool, because it's like there, it's like you're almost singing, like, but you're constantly looking up the entire time.
We're literally watching it.
I mean, it's like watching a movie. It's just boom, like I'm enjoying this. I am comfortable. You know what I mean? I am fine with the situation. I had a blast up there. I really did. It wasn't too.
Yeah.
It wasn't hot. It wasn't like, it was nice. Like, it was sweet.
The Agora, man, it's honestly my absolute favorite music venue. They've done nothing but update it over time, but it's never lost its
Agora feel.
Yeah. Like it's always felt like the Agora.
Yeah.
I mean, I have been to many concerts there, and it's just like, you walk through the doors, you're like, yeah, this is my church right here, you know.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So I'm super excited because we're going to the Agora again to go.
No,
see
sweet. Like,
so
I figured you told me that because that's how I knew. Like I knew this was coming up because of the fact that I was upset. I did want to try to go, but you know what I mean. I didn't want to be that third person.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I was going to get a date to come, or if not, I'm not going to go.
Yeah, right.
So that
right.
was it. So I just was like, you know what I mean? And then it got too close, and I not even quit trying, like, to even start, you know what I mean? But good.
I
am jealous AF.
I don't have it around me, but my very first concert I ever went to, my brother took me to, and it was 3 Days Grace, Smile Empty Soul, and Trapped. We got in a car accident. We missed 3 Days Grace. I don't care. Never liked them. Say what you want. Throw bottles at me. I don't care.
Here we go.
Now, Smile Empty Soul, their first album, amazing. So hearing that live, especially I was really into them at the time, was awesome.
Yeah.
These guys walked past me. I had their CD in my hand. These guys literally walked past me. I was like, can I get your autograph? Got their autograph. That happened at the Agora, man. Like, let it happen tomorrow. Let me get some signatures, man.
Dude, that would be sweet. Yeah, I went to a music concert in, I don't know, I can't remember. We drove like really far to get there, and when we went up there, I mean, all right, throw bottle bottles at me, puddle of mud. You know what I mean? That's who was headlining it, and it was crazy because out of the corner of my eye, all I see is this golf cart. And then the security guard in the front, in this front little thing, the security guard in the side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they started going through, and the security guard in the front, like, moving people all the way. Well, when they started walking up, and I'm like, wait a minute, I forget the guy's name, but I'm like, that's the lead singer of Puddle Mud right there. There he is.
That's sweet.
Coming on this golf cart, you know?
Yeah.
Like, uh-oh. So I just turned, like, I just slowly turned around. And the wild part is like, right by where we were standing, there was, like, just traffic. So both golf carts had to stop. So I turned around, I'm like, what's up? I didn't know what to say.
Yeah, right,
hey, man. And he's like, hey, how you doing? He's like, thanks for coming. I said, yeah, no problem. And I didn't know what to do. So then he just pulled away, and I said, okay. I was like, it was one of those first moments that I'm like, because I didn't have like, don't get me wrong. It's
listen, what man, are you I'm supposed to say, to right?
Exactly.
I don't want to come out with, I love you, man.
Yeah, yeah, because don't get me wrong. I don't love you. Like, right, I'm not, you know what I mean? That's the thing. I mean, it's like,
you know,
hey,
one
dude,
time,
it's good to see you.
Yeah, one time I had gone with a mutual friend of ours to a concert at the House of Blues. And it wasn't the main stage House of Blues. It was like this smaller room. And it was two bands that are pretty, you know, they weren't big. They weren't well known. Yeah. Obviously, they weren't in the main room. So,
correct.
But it was really funny because it was so intimate. That like they went over to get drinks and you could like literally walk over and talk to these guys. So I go over there and my friend goes over there and we're talking and like the best that my friend could come up with was like, so where are you from and how's the weather? And I was like, come on, really? Like that is so awfully boring. And then like by the time like we could actually like talk about something else, they went up and got stage. I'm like, that's it? That's what you wanted to go with? How's the weather? Where are you from? Like, are you kidding me, man?
So funny. That's awesome.
I am very excited, and You know, I should. I'm like a giddy little schoolgirl at this point.
Yeah, just say it.
I'm going to see the Jonas Brothers tomorrow.
Yeah, all I'm saying is you better send a photo. I just want a photo of you standing right there. I mean, not of you standing there. I don't care. I just want a photo of those guys jamming out on stage, okay?
With me doing this.
Behind me. Yeah.
That's so funny. I'm pumped, man. That's awesome. I am so pumped. Sweet.
Heck yeah. This is what you showing me. It should be a blast, man. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. It's going to be a
Oh, because Jessica didn't get to go last time,
Tillian,
so.
Protect your head, man. Do not get a concussion this time.
Yeah.
I need you on that stage this time.
If he gets a concussion this time, you may not like them anymore.
Yeah. You ever seen a city riot? Kevin will start a riot. Tillian, you will get up on that stage or I will burn this city to the ground.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Okay.
Yeah, seriously.
Can I also get an autograph? I will also burn this place. Just kidding. But I am very excited. So they are coming off. They just had a few shows. Everything's been going great. And they had just done, I think Swan Fest is about 2 days. They had done Swan Fest as well, which is really cool. So very excited. Very excited.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, dude. Thanks, man. Have fun, man. Have a good time.
I'm just hoping that they're like, hey, you look like a big fan. And I'm like, I am. I'm a very big fan. Yeah. I just want a photo or an autograph or something, you know.
Yeah, or go backstage, you know, it's fine.
No, because I honestly, if anybody's watched Community and Troy meeting LeVar Burton, I fear that. He's like, I only wanted a picture of LeVar Burton. I never wanted to meet him, you know? Because, like, I'm just going to be like, do you guys like to eat? Do you guys drink water? You know, they're going to be like, is this guy okay? Like, no. Yeah.
How's the weather at your hometown?
Yeah, right. Well, what's cool is John Mess is from Columbus. So I'd be like, do you ever go home?
Yeah. Just bring up Ohio State in there like somewhere.
Maybe. But
I'm just giving you that hint.
Yeah, right. I should write down topics so that if we get backstage, Jessica, here's some topics that we could talk about. I'll get sweaty and like, oh no, I don't know what to say.
What's that writing all over your arm? No, I was prepared.
I was trying to remember how to talk to you.
It's so funny. You would actually get removed faster than you would if you it just were like a normal person, like ASAP, because they're actually so scared that you like don't know what you're doing.
Like, this guy's really weirding me out. Can you get him out of here?
Yeah. Actually, no, I don't like this guy. No. Yeah. Oh my god, I love you.
I go. I go viral for like being some weird creep. Like, yeah, whatever. I love him. Anyways, I mean, I spent a lot of years listening to them. God, that concert was. Had to have been December 2018. So since that time, just been Dance Gavin Dance life. And it's one of the funniest bands to be like, who is this? Dance Gavin Dance. Huh? Who's
everybody Gavin? Too.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. It's so funny.
It's funny. People called it Dance Kevin Dance for a long time.
Oh, yeah?
Like Dance Kevin Dance. And that's funny. And at first, I thought they were messing around, right? It's not messing around. It's Dance Gavin Dance.
That's right,
and
man.
Well, I mean, yeah. I turned a couple people on to watching
some,
it. Not,
some
not,
DGD. Not yeah. So I'm very excited. And then maybe we'll get to Ozark. But we're doing that tomorrow. I'm very excited because it's just like... one of those cool nights out that you don't always get.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Especially being a Faja, too, you know?
A Faja, yes, yeah. It's got to take some opportunities to get out there and go do something. So.
Thank you.
Before we get into this too late, do you want to get on the topic of this show, this movie, this series, this thing?
Sure, man. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. If you're ready, because if anybody has watched this series, the Kingsman, the Secret Service, right? That's what the first one's called, Kingsman, the Secret Service. It was awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was excellent. Like, they made the villain all goofy, and they he's like afraid of blood and stuff. I think that's hilarious, you know.
No. How can you be a villain that way?
Yeah, right. Like, yeah, you do the dirty work. I can't do that.
Yeah.
But also, like, a really cool way of looking at, like, a younger generation becoming spies, what they have to go through, their training, that kind of stuff. But also, the action sequences were outstanding. The fight scene in the church with Colin Firth, man, was just one of my favorite action scenes. The way the camera just travels along with everything, and a lot of their fighting scenes in that movie is really good.
Yeah, I love the weapons. I mean, it was
sweet. Oh yeah, no. it was fun. It was like a less serious James Bond, which I think the Kingsman is like based on a comic book or graphic novel. I'm not 100% sure on that, but
it is definitely a novel based, something like that based movie for sure.
Yeah. So I Terrence Egerton, or is that Egerton? They call him Eggsy in the movie, but I think it's Terrence Egerton. He plays the main kid in the movie. Plus, you have Michael Caine. And a ton of other, Colin Firth, a ton of names I can't fully remember, and a really well star studded cast, and I love it.
Barry, Samuel Jackson. I mean, literally it is huge.
Yeah, so it's just like the first one, such a well done action movie that incorporated a younger version of looking at things and spicing up the intelligence agency, basically, you know. Less stuffy, more fun. And then the second one came out, Kingsman and the Golden Circle, or some garbage. I'm sorry to be harsh on that one, but it just was not good. I watched it 1.5 times. That half time, I was just like, nah. You
can't do it.
I can't do it. Do you remember Kingsman, and the Golden Circle or something like that?
I don't. I watched it, but it's been, that's what I was looking at. I was looking at, you know, when things came out. I mean, the first, the Secret Service came out in 2014. I think the second one came out in 2017. So, I mean, I probably watched when it first came out. It's 5 years ago, you know,
Right.
It's like not really coming back. I mean, I know I've seen it. I can like tell you about parts. Like, I looked it up and looked at it. It all looks familiar, but I would have to do a rewatch. But that's all. That doesn't make a movie good, I'll tell you that. If I can't remember much about it, you know, it's one of those things. So,
I love Channing Tatum, but he couldn't save the movie. I love Pedro Pascal. He couldn't save the movie. Terrence Egerton, I generally like him. He's a good actor, and he was really good in the first one, and just couldn't save it.
No,
it just wasn't good. And I can't think of her name right now. But the lady who winds up being like the bad boss is just, I don't know. It just felt like over the top, and it kind of just fell apart from what made the first one so good. So it just was like, oh, here's a bunch of spy crap. Here's how we're doing things now, and then here's like this evil baddie, and it's just some big overblown plot, and I don't know. It just,
yeah, because you know it's different too
when you, or something like that.
Yeah, when you can go back and watch the first one and still enjoy it just as much as that you did the first time. I mean, obviously, you've seen it also, but I'm just saying you still get that same enjoyment out of it. When you watch the second one for the first time, you're supposed to get some sort of, and you don't. You know, it's a bad sequel. They lost the whole surprise of everything, and they went about it full blown too much in there.
So, yeah. I just it's just more of the same.
Yeah,
it was just for sure. Like,
well, this What this? Are you talking about this one we just watched at King's
Bay? Well, no, I'm just getting at the Golden Circle at this point.
Got it.
So, you know, you had like you were just saying, you got this first one that's like really memorable, a lot of fun,
yep.
and it knocked it out of the park. I'm sure a lot of people. I wonder. I'll look at that later, but like, I wonder what scores are versus the two. And then, like, I feel like they just threw a cast and were like, here's a screenplay, and we slapped it together, and here we go. And it's just like nobody ever, like, says, hey, I think this might need a rewrite. Like, some of this might seem a little stupid or repetitive or... I mean, I get it, it's a spy movie, so not everything's supposed to be believable or some things are supposed to be hyperbolic, but... The fact that it's just like too hyperbolic is just okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to know the Rotten Tomatoes scores, it starts out at 75.
Yeah, that's a good score.
Then goes then goes down to 50.
Yep. And then a 41, right?
And then a 41. Yeah. Not good.
And there's a reason for that. A 41. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
So people were like, hey, that Golden Circle movie was pretty bad. And maybe with Terrence Egerton, maybe he was doing Rocket Man and doing other things in his career that maybe he wasn't signed on for it. So maybe they were like, let's go in a different direction. I don't know. But this prequel is like how the Kingsman was formed. My God, it was so boring, man. And it was you could call everything that's going to happen. I think there was only one thing that was like, oh. And I didn't really care either because it was just like, whatever. It's like when the son is, I'm so-and-so, and they're like, you're a German spy, you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was like, oh, wow, okay, you're going to do that? Whatever.
What actually, I think it's like, it actually... That was a good storyline to me, kind of going on, right? I thought I was going to see something.
Well, that's what I thought. Like, he's gonna hand that over and be like, I got my first taste of, like, this intelligence.
Yes.
Let's do something. And then the Kingsman is born. No.
No. It actually goes the opposite direction.
And then it becomes even more boring.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Now it's a sorrow, you know, happy. I mean, it's...
Ralph Fiennes. He's a good actor, but man, that's boring as shit.
There's actually a couple parts of it that were like, I wasn't even as happy as I used to, like with the first couple like fight things and stuff. I was way happier with the motions and the fighting and the swords. This last one, like the end fight, you know, there's always an end fight. There was a couple parts that were just not good that I don't know if it's just because I sat through this entire movie, like, not enjoying myself, and maybe a couple of these fights, I'm like, that was an awful move. Like, you can't even blame the actors for it. You got to blame the director and the video people have got to see that. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, right.
Something. Like, you can't blame
that. It
just
was very anticlimactic.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, okay, well, that was not that fun.
The over-the-top Scottish accent.
Oh,
from the
dude.
Get-go was like, okay, it was just like too much. Because then it made me start thinking, okay, you're on this remote spot and you have power over these people. They're doing your bidding, but yet you're a Scotsman. What power do you have? Like, you're not the leader of the United States. You're not the leader of, like, some giant country. You're just a Scotsman who's angry at, well, really England, you know? It's just kind of, like, weird. Like, what do these people owe you that they have to fall in line or else they'll be killed, you know?
Yeah, seriously. Absolutely. Yeah, it's wild.
Like, I just didn't see the threat of this guy. And then the over the top. So that his name is Matthew Good, the actor who played.
Okay.
He also is Ozymandias from Watchmen. Adrian Veidt.
That's weird. I don't know why. Okay. All right.
But I think he's a good actor. But that was over the top.
Yeah.
That was just over the top. And it just felt weird because I'm like, I would leave there and be like, I don't really care what happens. That guy's like all the way up there. And if he comes down, like, I don't really care. Like, what is this? It's a Scotsman. Like, what does he have over me? It's just a weird thing. So, like, I'm like, this guy is a pointless villain. And then, like, you already know what's going to happen. You know the series of events because these movies are overplayed. They're overmade. And just what made the first one great was, like, it had different spins on things. And,
yes.
And then it had a unique villain. And it had the action shots. I think really what separates a lot of action movies from each other are action sequences and action scenes. I mean, what's going to be noteworthy? The story? I'm gonna tell you no.
Yeah.
You know? So this third movie just was just boring.
Boring. I thought I was gonna say
41% was too much. 41% was too much. It was so repetitive. And then every actor is just like, especially like the maid who was like this.
Yeah.
Just so uptight and so, like, full of herself. And, like, any of these conversations that are being had are just bullshit. Like, oh, he talks like this. And if they do, you have no friends. If you talk like this, you have no friends. I'm never going to talk to you if you're that full of yourself. Nobody is. And it's just like, oh, I can do that. And that's another thing I hate about these movies. I'll go on for a while about this shit, dude. No, I'm just kidding. but like, it's just like you have a team of people cracking codes, but this person is just so good at it that they can do it by themselves. Oh, don't worry. I'm only like 30 years old, but I have like hundreds of years of experience to break codes, hack mainframes, do whatever. I'm not talking about like just hacking mainframes in this movie, obviously, because it's like World War One, but
yeah,
like it goes to the same thing of like hacking movies where like, well, I'd have to do this, this, this. Yeah, I could do it. Done. I'm like, no, that's bullshit. You know, like, same thing for this. Like, it just, I don't know. It just was like some unbelievable crap. And it just wasn't even like unbelievable crap in the cool spy way. It's just unbelievable crap.
Yeah. So I think it's really funny.
I'll allow you to talk. I'm just kidding. I just felt like I talked for a really long time.
Yeah. Go ahead. I recorded it. It's only 8 minutes long, but it's okay. So my opinion on it was definitely, it was like I said, boring. The one part that really got to me, so you brought it up, and I was just really just sitting here thinking about it as you were talking, is the part that, okay, so when... I forget his name now. You just said it. The officer that pretended like he is sick on the boat and then jumped on the other boat and went to his... Okay. Yeah. So how does he have that much time to where he swims from there?
Stupid. That's how.
This dude must have paddled for like 9 hours.
Lazy writing. That's how.
Dude, it was ridiculous. To then get in a submarine, didn't have time to sink, depressurize, and then shoot the rocket.
Oh, yeah, dude. I actually did that last weekend. I did it under 2 minutes.
Bro, what?
Yeah.
Dude, that's impressive. That's impressive. When he did that transition, I knew what happened on the boat before they showed you what happened on the boat.
Well, like, especially because when they like go through the window, he's no longer even there.
Yes.
So,
So when I saw that, okay, I'm like, okay. This guy, you know what I mean? And then I thought when they were going to show him on the submarine when they did it at the very end, that he was actually, it was going to be somebody else. That's who I thought. I thought for some reason there's going to be, who was the one guy I was thinking about? Oh, okay. So, all right. So the one part that made me laugh in this movie, I just got to say, there's one positive to this movie. This is, I think, where they got the 41%. Is the Rasputin? Russian dancer.
Yeah, Rasputin. What?
So, Rasputin. He's got it, man. He saved the movie to 41. So funny.
I'll be honest. Yeah, that wild. whole dancing fighting scene was probably the best scene. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Hilarious. I laughed.
Him eating that dessert.
Yes. Yeah.
Just and like then I knew, being.
And I knew that he knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that. So, like, when he did that, he smelled it and acted all weird about it and then did that, I'm like, this is pretty wild. You know what I mean? This is pretty.
He pukes and he's like, yeah. I'm sorry. Like, oh, yeah. Something's wrong with my stomach. Yeah. What the fuck is
so
happening? I mean, like, the movie turned, like, at that dinner, dinner in that scene, yeah. It turned, like, oddly sexual. And I'm like,
yes, it did.
Where's this movie going? Like, this is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, way, like, too sexual, actually.
Yeah.
Like, almost. It got, like, real weird. Even during the dancing things, I mean, he, like...
Yeah, yeah. There was because he's, like, taking it.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm saying. I laughed really hard.
All right, I'll give you that. That is funny because, like, yeah, his dad's watching him and he has, like, his...
Yeah.
And he's like... Yeah. That was pretty funny. All right, I'll give it 41%
because of that.
Yeah. That guy is in one of the... greatest movies ever made.
What?
His name is, I think, Reese Ifans. He plays Gregory Rasputin. And I would say Rasputin was definitely the best character.
Yeah.
In the movie.
I think he should have been the villain, if anything.
I thought he was, like, in the previews, and it makes sense, like, there'd be, but he was, like, the most evil and oddly, like,
yeah, he was the scariest guy. He's like, literally feeding.
Yeah,
yeah. He's dripping that stuff into people's mouths. I mean,
it's like acid or wild. Something, man. Yeah, like, dude's just like tripping balls all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all the time. I mean,
yeah.
that scene too. That's what I'm saying. Like, every little thing that he did make me kind of like look back and laugh even harder.
Yeah,
like that stuff was pretty funny. So
so good job, Reese Ifans. You were very funny. The movie I was talking about that he's also part of is Mr. Nobody, which is just phenomenal film.
Oh,
but yeah, he's like almost unrecognizable as Rasputin, you know. But. Yeah, the dancing fight scene and just his character overall was just generally the highlight of the film.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's a good thing, but it's also a bad sign for a movie that he is like a subpar character.
Yeah, especially
as the main, he's not.
Yeah, he's not in it as long as he. You'd think he was.
No, but the funny thing, even the lead up, I mean, when he's walking in, right?
Yeah.
When he walks up, I thought that this dude, the way everybody looked at him, the way everybody did this, opened the doors, he got in, did whatever he needed to do.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he gets in and he's, oh, here's this trinket.
Yeah. So. That's funny. Yeah, Rasputin. All right. Well, good for you, Rasputin, because... Yeah. I did mean to bring him up because, like, when they were having dinner, that Conrad, the kid, is just like, I can't compete with this guy. This guy is fucking weird, man. I don't know what to say to him. Take off your trousers. Do I have to, though, man? You're freaking me out, man. I don't know what's going to happen in here.
That's so funny.
So, yeah. If you've only watched Kingsman, keep it there.
Seriously.
Just don't go any further. It's just not worth it. If you've watched The Golden Circle, you might as well watch this one. I'm not saying it's better. It's probably equally bad.
Yeah.
It's predictable.
But, yeah, it's predictable, but don't expect as much action, though, too.
Don't expect anything.
It was boring. Yeah, it was literally boring movie. Yeah. So at first I'm like, man, I feel bad. Like the first one I watched, I loved this one. The second one was like, you know, obviously I remember it was like, I didn't absolutely hate the movie. This one, I have to say, I'm opposite, man. I think it goes 1, 2, 3. Three's down here. I mean, just because of the other one, don't get me wrong, like it had action scenes in it. So like if I'm just going by
it actually felt more like a Kingsman movie than this one.
Yes. Yeah, correct. So that's why I have to rate that one a little bit better. I mean, this one, like, don't get me wrong, like there was like parts and stuff. I mean, like, you know what I mean, and the kid and, you know what I mean, the son and all that. But at the same time, it makes you mad. You watch the son, he looks like he's gonna be a badass too. And then all of a sudden that happens, you're like, bro.
Well, I know that was like my only surprising part. It's kind of like when you kill Carl the Walking Dead and you're like, I kind of am no longer interested.
At all. He was the future. Are you stupid? I wanted the Rick gone and let me get some Carl.
Carl.
And then what was the daughter's name?
Judith.
Judith, there it is. Sorry. Yep.
Or ass kicker.
Yeah.
Well, can't say much for it. Maybe it'll be done. I don't know how much money it brought in, but maybe it'll be done. Maybe maybe they'll go on to something else. You know.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. Put your efforts elsewhere at this point.
I heard that.
So what are we watching for next week? Our next podcast.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. What I mean, what do you have anything in mind? Hmm.
I don't.
See, I'm trying to think about
how about
anything.
Let's work on finishing Ozark and we could talk about Ozark.
Perfect.
That sounds like a game plan.
All right, sweet. So let's do that. Because I'll definitely get it done. I'll get it done in the next couple of days. See, I'm going through my notes. I thought I wrote one down that I was just gonna bring up, but it's not my notes, so I don't got it. I don't remember. I don't know. I thought I was doing well with that, but I'll find it and then I'll text you later.
All right, so, sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, don't be wrong. I'm totally fine with the Ozarks. I mean, that's cool. We can definitely do that. So I'm definitely 100%. I'll rewatch it. You know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So.
All right, cool.
But
well, you got anything else for us?
I think that's it. I think that's it.
All right, perfect. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for watching.
Thank you for listening.